Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I got to tell you, Wesley Critchfield is here and Hayden Thomas. I absolutely love Haunted Pittsburgh. It's one of the best things that this community has to offer. Halloween around the bend, it is a definite must for all of you. Let's just get started before we start talking about who they are and what they have in store by simply saying hello to two of my favorites. And of course, Wesley, I know from previous broadcast, it's good to see you. How's life in Monongahela?
Oh, it's going pretty good. We're having a good time down there trying to get ready for Halloween. We have a number of things down in Monongahela Way for Halloween that's going to be a lot of fun. But one thing we're really excited with Haunted Pittsburgh is the Oak Show. We have a show coming up here at in Oakmont, and it's going to be a new show. If you've ever come out to see Haunted Pittsburgh before live, it's going to be a very new show. We have a couple of the stories you might be a little familiar with, but it's all new stories. It's a whole new format. We're kind of going off of something that a format that you may have seen in some horror films like Dead of Night and the original Tales from the Crypt movie, where people come into like death's foyer basically, and they kind of tell how they got there and maybe some scary stories that they know. So it's going to be a great time.
So did you guys have anything to do with Chiller Theater coming back?
No, unfortunately. Gosh, no. I wish we did. I wish I had something to do with that. I enjoyed, I saw last week.
Scott, how was it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. They did The Brain from Planet Eros, I believe was the name of the movie, and that was really good. It was a lot of fun. And we love Chilly Billy on there. But yeah, actually, when I do my tour, I walk down around downtown, and I make sure to play at least once during the tour of the Chiller Theater theme off of my little speaker I have.
Listen, not to get too nostalgic, but sure. I'm a baby boomer. Carol, who's doing some great work, we're in that same age category. As a kid growing up, this was must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole weekend revolved around getting in front of that television at 11:30, and you did everything your parents told you to do because they would be going out to the VFW or the Legion, and you got to stay up until like 2 in the morning, 2:30
right,
in the
right,
morning.
Right.
It's a great piece of wonderful treasure in Pittsburgh, and it's nice to know that they've kind of revamped that for the next couple of weeks. Hayden, tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm from Munhall, Pennsylvania.
Great community.
I worked at Fisher Body for a number of years and got to retire early. I got a little job on a golf course, got free golf 5 minutes from home. That's how I spend most of my time. And now I'm spending a lot of time learning the script for our show coming up at the Oaks Theater.
Beautiful Oaks Theater.
Yeah.
You know, I was down right along that Route 28, and there was the Halton Bridge, and I thought, I wonder if I have time to get over to Oakmont Bakery. But I love Oakmont, love Oaks Theater, love all of that. You guys are going to be a part of it, and we're going to get to all of that. But first, tell everybody who may be hearing about Haunted Pittsburgh for the first time who you are.
Well, we're a history tour group. We operate downtown. We start off at the City County Building, and we go around Grant Street and some of the streets surrounding that, and we tell the ghost stories of Pittsburgh, something that we take you as close as we can to the haunted sites, and it's a great time. We have all kinds of cool stories that anybody who knows anything about history is going to love. We have a possible Jack the Ripper. We have a story about Henry Clay Frick. We have stories about the William Penn Hotel and the prison, of course, the story of Mrs. Soffel and the Biddle Brothers. It's an amazing tour. It's really a lot of fun.
You know, I've said many times, Hayden and Wesley, that Grand Street was like Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
We were what Silicon Valley eventually became out in Seattle and places like that. There was such great wealth here that, you know, in those mansions and those stories and those back streets and those late nights, Wesley, a lot of amazing tales from the crypt.
Oh, yeah. There's a one that we actually tour, quote on the tour that the New York Times said that Pittsburgh was a place that men of great wealth sprang up like mushrooms, and their tales of their acquisitions of fortunes read like stories out of the Arabian Nights. That's what New York Times said about Pittsburgh back in the day. So, I mean,
it's been a while since I've seen him, but this is why I love being around this guy. He's got a voice that just reaches right through the radio and grabs you.
It should be in vaudeville.
I'm telling you. Audiobooks, whatever. It's great. Orson Welles would be envious. Now, before we talk about the Oaks Theater, October 6th and 7th, I just think people need to understand history is who we all are a part of. And that's why I've been harping so much about the U.S. Steel thing. I hope that they don't change the name. I hope they don't leave. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about the wealth and the power of Andrew Carnegie and he and J.P. Morgan and that bitter rivalry and the Pinkerton police and the Homestead strike, all of this stuff has a backstory to it, right?
Absolutely. we tell the story of the homestead strike on our tour there as part of our story on Frick, and it's just an amazing history. And Frick himself is a figure that is much reviled, but at the same time, you have to look at him and go, wow, this is a guy who was dealing against everything. Nobody wanted him to succeed, and yet he still has his name on everything around here. We got the, you know, museums and history centers and all kinds of cool stuff around parks and everything around here. And so you leave your mark on history like that. Sometimes it's because you're famous, other times it's because you're infamous. But it's amazing what the history of the U.S. Steel and the Carnegie Steel before it is a fascinating story. And I'm amazed there aren't more movies about it. They kind of talk about it in the one film called The Current War. It was more about Westinghouse in that one. But they do talk about how influential Pittsburgh was in that time of the 1800s, was creating the modern world.
So just a few weeks ago, Andy Masick, Heinz History Center, did a time capsule on Henry Clay Frick surviving his own assassination attempt, mm-hmm. and how, after being shot, fought back against his assailant. Come on.
Right.
Not only could this guy, you know, work long hours, but he was a pretty tough guy, too.
Well, now, see, here's the interesting thing about that. As you mentioned, Frick was attacked in his own office, and he fought back against the man and everything like that. But the man later said that he thought that there was something going on in that office, because when he came in, he was dazzled by sunlight coming in through an open window. But here's the thing. It was 2:00 on a July afternoon, and the office windows faced due north. There shouldn't have been enough sunlight to dazzle anybody.
Mm-mm.
20 years later, Frick said that he saw in that room, when the man's name was Alexander Berkman, came in to shoot him, the ghost of Frick's daughter, little Martha, who had died 1 year before. She died of an illness brought on by swallowing a pin. She appeared before him, and she looked, and this is an exact quote, "so real and so corporeal that I had to resist the urge to put my arms out to her." So Berkman had been dazzled not by sunlight, but by the ghost light coming off of Martha's apparition.
Strange but true. Some really unique and individual stories that just continue to go on and on like that. So October 6th and 7th, tell me a little bit about Oaks Theater and what you're going to be doing.
Okay, we've been at the Oaks Theater for many, many years now. It's a beautiful theater.
It's the place to be.
Oakmont. It's got this green room. It's a little bit creepy. You go down there and there's this big metal door on the place. And from the inside of the door, there are all these pockmarks as though somebody was desperately something trying to get out of there. There's even what looks like claw marks on the door. I don't think I want to know what they had trapped in that room at that time. But the Oaks is a wonderful place. They're wonderful for us. And we've got a show coming up on October 6th and 7th. And the scenario is that there's a group of strangers that are drawn to a sinister waiting room. And they're all there for a different reason. They can't figure out what's going on. Some of them think that it's death's waiting room, that they're all dead. Well, there's a skeptic there who's just not buying it. He doesn't believe in the supernatural. And the rest of the folks there try to convince him by telling tales from the supernatural from our haunted Pittsburgh tours. It's a great way to celebrate the Halloween season. There's plenty of visuals, lots of dark humor. As we always say, Pittsburgh has a north side and a south side. Come take a trip to the dark side with us. And you can find tickets at theoakstheater.com.
What's the history, Wesley, of that building, Oaks Theater?
I believe it's been around for a long time. I can't say I'm too knowledgeable about it, but it has been around for a long time. And it was like a vaudeville theater back in the day. And it had all kinds of great acts from the past come through there. And we actually had one of our guys that worked with us, he had an experience while he was at the Oak Theater. We were all sitting around having lunch before one of the shows, and he swore he heard somebody call his name. So he gets up and he walks out to the kind of the foyer area where they have a bar and everything like that. And he's looking around and he says, "Hello, somebody call for me. It's Ryan, you know." And they said, there was nobody there. And he thought, okay, well, maybe I'm just hearing things. And he went back and sat down and he said, "Did you hear somebody call my name a few minutes ago?" And I was like, no, I didn't hear anything. And but yet another person said, "No, I heard somebody call your name. I saw you get up and go after them. That's why I didn't say anything at the moment. But I definitely heard something called your name."
All right, don't forget, get tickets. HauntedPittsburghTours.com. Wesley, Hayden, and I back with more on Pittsburgh Works on KDK in just a moment. All right, we're back. Don't forget to get those tickets for October 6th and 7th at the beautiful Oaks Theater in Oakmont. HauntedPittsburghTours.com. So, again, they are announcing that people can celebrate the season of Halloween by joining them on October 6th and 7th at the fabulous Oaks Theater in Oakmont. The Haunted Pittsburgh Players present Halloween Trip to the Dark Side. A group of strangers are drawn to a sinister waiting room where they swap and reenact some of Pittsburgh's greatest ghost stories. Lots of spooky stories, lots of dark humor, and a great time to be had by one and all. You know what this reminds me of? One of the most frightening movies I've ever seen. Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis. You know, I see dead people. And they're in that theater, and he sees all of these dead people. I've often said there's some sort of kinetic energy that's out there. My mother used to say that we go clockwise, that other side goes counterclockwise. And if you're walking every once in a while, you'll notice like a something like goes your peripheral vision. There's something there, but you can't make it out. There's just too many people to have these many stories.
Right.
And you guys have such fan appeal. There's got to be, Wesley, something to this.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, I personally have never really experienced anything supernatural. But, pardon me, I have I've heard a lot of things and I've seen a lot of things that is like, I believe in the spiritual world. I really do. One thing that you were talking about there, you know, going meeting up sometimes. Sometimes those things sink. One story that we tell is there's a man, we'll call him Bill. He worked at the William Penn Hotel downtown in Pittsburgh there. It was built by Henry Clay Frick, by the way. Everything seems
really
to come back to him. Yeah,
I
he actually designed. He actually stole key personnel from other great hotels and brought them to Pittsburgh to work in his hotel. He stole his chef, for instance, from the Plaza Hotel in New York.
Come on.
Yeah. So, well, there's this guy named Bill, and he's downstairs, and he's actually a banquet hall manager, and he's locking up for the night, and hears music coming from one of the banquet halls. Well, he knows this isn't right that time of night. There's not supposed to be anybody in there, and he figures, okay, maybe a turntable was left spinning earlier in the day, and he's going to go inside and turn it off. Well, he goes inside, and he sees people dancing in the darkness. He can see their silhouettes. He can see the band up on the bandstand, and he can see the gleam of light off the musical instruments that they're playing. And the band's music is fantastic. They're playing the Charleston. But don't try to have this band come in for your next engagement. They're on tour from another dimension. So all this startles Bill so badly that he reaches inside and turns on the light to get a better look. And the people, the music, and the instruments disappear without a trace.
Yeah, Bill told us that story. And another employee there told me that he was walking down the corridor of the 17th floor one night when he suddenly felt a cold blast of wind come up from behind him, go right through him. And he thought, that's unusual. There's no windows open, no doors. And a little while later, a security guard called him over and said, you've got to see this. And there he was on the monitor, walking down that corridor. And right behind him was the silhouette of a man, its arms pumping as it came right up to and right through him.
Oh, my. All right. Again, how do you get tickets for this thing? Please tell them. Go ahead, Wesley.
All right. Well, you can always go to our website, which is HauntedPittsburghTours.com, www.HauntedPittsburghTours.com. We're going to be going Fridays and Saturdays for a little while here, but coming up on the 12th, we're going to actually expanding, and we're going to be going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have tours available all 4 days. And then, of course, we have the Oakmont show coming up on the 5th and 6th of October. I beg your pardon, 6th and 7th of October. And you can find those all at HauntedPittsburgh.com. We also have HauntedPittsburghTours.com. Sorry, HauntedPittsburghTours.com. And we also have a Facebook page and an Instagram as well, so you can find out more about us there.
Why do you think so many people, Stephen King's got a new novel coming out, you go as far back as Edgar Allan Poe, why are so many people intrigued by horror, things that go bump in the night? Why do you think this is such an attractive menu for just about everybody from every walk of life?
Well, I think sometimes, I mean, people like the roller coaster. So they like the ability to be scared, but safely. So that they feel that there's a buffer, you know. So for the most part, people like to go on tours and stuff and learn the history. But then they like to feel like, hey, there's still some of that history lingering around, which I personally think is why ghosts in particular have lasted. I mean, you go back to Hamlet, you know, Hamlet's father's ghost and everything like that. There's ghost stories practically since we were living in caves and telling stories to each other. Why? Well, one is we want to believe that when I pass on, there will be something of me left. You know, energy cannot dissipate. It can only transform. So the energy that is Wesley will hopefully go on in some other form afterwards. Well, everybody kind of has that hope, whether they admit it or not. They may say, oh, no, I just believe when you die, you go into oblivion and that's the end and you just cease to exist. Well, that may be. But most of us at the core of the human spirit, I think we want to believe some part of us will go on. Some part of us will exist. Well, there's also, of course, memory. I believe that not only do people have memory, but places have memory as well. Very often you can go into a place and it's not necessarily haunted, but you can feel this was a place of sadness. I actually went to a place up north here in Newcastle just recently and explored the building and everything. And it used to be a nursing home. And it was actually a place for itinerant farmers before that. And you could feel just walking around the place, and we had the lights on and everything. It wasn't a night hunt. We weren't, you know, doing EVPs or anything like that. But you could feel this is a place where a lot of people came to die. A lot of people were sad. A lot of people were in basically what we would call madness, basically, and didn't really know what was going on around them. You could just feel this oppressive nature of the place. And I think that both people and places have memory, and that when you have an experience, it leaves a mark on a place, especially a traumatic experience.
See, I honestly think that there's just too many stories of people who have felt the presence of a loved one after they passed. Mm-hmm. We migrate to the cemetery to pay tribute. We make it feel better, even though there's nothing physically to be around. We mourn someone's loss by going to that funeral home to have that viewing. There is something about life and death and how they're all connected. And just too many people with too many stories prior to their death seeing their mother or father as vivid as I'm looking at you right now. Mm-hmm. Hayden, there's just got to be something to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. When I got into this, I hadn't thought one way or the other about ghosts. I'd never had an experience. I just wanted to be a tour guide. But as long as I've been doing this, on almost every tour, somebody comes up and tells me their own story. And I can see their sincerity. I can sometimes hear the fear in their voices as they're telling me this story. So you can't convince me that everybody's crazy.
Now, and listen, people would not put themselves out there by bringing this stuff up because they would realize, okay, if I say this, there's no turning back, but they believe in it so much because to them it's as real as I'm looking at you and we're on the radio today that they feel the need to get that word out. And that's what's so great about you and these stories that you tell. It's keeping a lot of this stuff alive that the people who went through it the first time, they were hoping that someone would be here to represent their story because it was near and dear to them and it was life-changing. Wesley.
Oh, absolutely. There's one story that we tell about a man who worked at the incline, on the Monongahela Incline in Pittsburgh here, and he was working on the upper deck one night, and he felt the need to use the facilities, and so he follows procedure, he turns off the lights, he locks the door, he goes down in the basement, but while he's down there, he hears the sound of someone walking on the ceiling, or the office floor over his head, it's the ceiling over his head, and it feels like there can't be anybody in there. It can't be because the door is locked and the lights are off. Well, he comes out and he feels something behind him, this presence. And he doesn't know if it's real or not, but he knows one thing above all else. He mustn't turn around. So quick as he can, he runs up the stairs and refuses to go down in the basement ever since. Well, we hear stories like that all the time. But a couple of weeks later, he told us that another guy had the same experience. He felt the presence downstairs and he's going back up the stairs and his cell phone rings and he thinks, okay, that, you know, that's what it was. I had a feeling somebody was going to call. He brings out his phone and he looks at it. It's the phone number of the office desk upstairs in the room that is locked off. Nobody is in that room.
Oh.
So
more of this stuff October 6th and 7th at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont. They, of course, haunted Pittsburgh. We're going to come back much more with Wesley and Hayden and your Pratt Pack today right here on KDKA 100.1. It took all the saliva like right out of my mouth. 100.1 FM AM 1020. We'll be back. All right. The folks from Haunted Pittsburgh are here. They're unveiling their 2023 Halloween schedule. Plenty of chances to tour Pittsburgh's most haunted sites downtown. Halloween isn't complete without a trip to the dark side. They're also here to talk about and will continue to talk about before the half hour is up. Their big show at the beautiful Oaks Theater, October 6th and 7th. It is a must. Everything that you need, go to hauntedpittsburghtours.com. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. absolutely love what they do. Now, you begin with a story, then we'll get Wesley in here. Let's just get some stories to let people know these people are the real deal. They'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, but more importantly, they'll make you learn to appreciate this place we call home. Hayden, you're on.
I think what sets our tour apart is there's so much history. The fellow who did the research and writes our stories is a history nut. So you get a lot of Pittsburgh's history along with our creepy tales downtown. And one of those tales is Forbes Avenue used to be called Diamond Alley. And in November of 1889, Diamond Alley became a quasi-tourist attraction when dozens of Pittsburghers would stand outside this two-story frame house on the side of the street there, and they were looking at a woman dressed all in white who would appear in the window always between 7 and 10 p.m. Now, this woman's appearance scared the bejeebers out of this crowd because she was Mrs. Metz, and she had died 6 months earlier. Now, then one day, Mrs. Metz didn't appear. And the next day, she was back. And this became a pattern, and it quickly became apparent that she didn't appear when the weather was nice, but only when it was dark, damp, and dreary, and the bleak November winds blew. You see, she just didn't feel at home when the weather was nice. She may have been a ghost, but she was still a Pittsburgher.
All right, Wesley, top that.
Oh, I don't know if I can top it, I've got a pretty good one for you. Downtown on Grant Street, there's now a Greyhound bus station and garage. Where that stands, there used to be a hotel called the Richelieu. Now, the Richelieu burned down one night in this terrible fire. It was started by a gas leak on the second floor. This happened actually on January 8th, 1899. In this building, there was a box on the front desk of the Richelieu. It was called an annunciator. Now, it had a clock face on the front, but rather than telling time, this had an arrow that would point to a room that needed service. If you wanted something from the front desk, you would push a button in your room, kind of like a doorbell. And on the front desk, this box called the annunciator would have an arrow that would point to the room that needed service. And there would be a bell inside of it, and that bell would ring, and the arrow would point until somebody pulled a lever and reset the box. Well, nobody rang for the annunciator the night of the fire. Fire smolders in a second-floor linen closet. Then there's this huge explosion. People are running about in a panic, trying to get out of the building, and most succeed. But the guests in room 20 weren't so lucky. Now, the guests in room 20 were a Mr. and Mrs. George Smith. Seem to be a lot of Mr. and Mrs. Smiths in hotel rooms, don't
Absolutely.
You find?
Absolutely. I was waiting for you to Jones, say something right? like that.
But, of course, this wasn't their real name. They were actually George Waters, a 28-year-old salesman from New Jersey, and Kate Boyle, a 30-year-old housekeeper who worked at another hotel here in Pittsburgh. Well, when the firefighters break into the room, they find the two of them already dead. There's nothing they could do for them. George was laying on the floor, and his face was burned, and Kate was laying in bed dead of smoke inhalation. A few months go by. It's May. Directly across from the Richelieu, there's another hotel called the Rush House. Well, the concierge is standing at the front desk of the Rush House just after midnight, and he hears a bell ringing across the street. Well, he knows that's coming from the Richelieu. He knows also this isn't right because at this time of the night, nobody should even be in the building, and he's afraid somebody might have broken inside. So he does his duty, contacts the police, tells them what's going on, and the police say, "We're not interested. It's probably just some faulty wiring. Don't bother us with this again." The bell stopped ringing on its own. But the bell does not stop ringing on its own.
It rings
all through the night into the next morning. And as the newspapers reported, when the police arrived with the owners of the Richelieu in tow, the bell that was ringing was coming from the annunciator. And the arrow on the annunciator was pointing to room 20.
Oh.
One of the good things about the Oaks is that we get to move out of downtown and tell stories from all around the different region. We've got a lot of stories from Oakland. We used to do a tour there in Oakland. And, of course, the Oakland main branch of the library is there, and it seems like every library is haunted.
Yep.
So we've got a story there about a fella in the early 1900s who was hired to work there. And on his first day, he was down in the basement working when he noticed this electrician working on the electrical box. Now, there was something not quite right about this guy, his clothes, his hat. He looked like a worker from the 18th century. And he called over to him, "Are you all right?" Well, the electrician didn't respond. He simply turned, walked behind a post, and never appeared on the other side. This greatly upset the young worker, so he went and found the head librarian and told him what he had seen. And she said, "Oh, others have seen him too, and they're afraid." And he says, "Well, why don't we just put up a sign that the basement is off limit to patrons?" She says, "Oh, he's not a patron. He thinks he still works here. You see, he was electrocuted while working on that box the day the library installed electricity."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was also a judge in that library who, in the early 1900s, hung himself right there in the stacks. And in the years that followed, the librarians and workers there would find a sign, a note written above that very spot where that tragedy happened, sometimes in a foreign language, most often in plain English. But the message was always the same. The judge is here.
Mm-hmm. So please, as I get my composure, please tell the audience about the Oaks Theater and October 6th and 7th and how they can get tickets and how exciting it will be. And what a great week, a way to begin that month. It's all about Halloween. Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay. Like you said, it's oakstheater.com is where you can get tickets, and it's going to be on October 6th and 7th. As we mentioned before, we're going to be doing a brand new show. It's done in the format of people coming into a waiting room, possibly in the afterlife, and they tell the stories of the Haunted Pittsburgh. We also, of course, have our tour every week. We're going all this month. We have Friday and Saturday, and our tour starts at about 7 o'clock. We start from the City-County Building downtown on Grant Street, and we walk around, tell you a bunch of cool stories, tell you about the history. And then in October here on the 12th, we're going to be expanding from just Friday and Saturday to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days a week, you can come down, learn some great Pittsburgh history.
So what's the connection, do you think, the history and the things that go bump in the night? Why do they work so well together? That's a great recipe, Hayden.
Well, the stories that become famous are the ones that involve some historical event or some
historical
person
figure.
From history, a historical figure. As you say, we hear these stories all the time. Every tour I do, somebody is telling me a story. But the stories that are famous usually involve a historical event or a historical figure.
You know? Isn't it also amazing that some of these historical figures, our family members have in a similar way had those same stories involving our family members. So
absolutely.
It's that gift that just keeps giving because these people stay alive and amongst the living because of the stories that are told, Wesley.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an old proverb, and they actually kind of talked about it in the one Disney movie called Coco, where you live. There are two deaths, basically, and that your first death, when you actually die, you physically die and go into the ground, is your first death. The second death is the last time somebody speaks your name. Now, of course, I personally believe that we go on after that. But it is important to keep these stories and these people alive, even if it's in just these silly little family tales, like you were saying before, that seem to us to be so unimportant. It's like, oh, well, my grandfather told me this story about how this is actually a true story. He was looking to sell his house for a time there, and he had a feeling that he wasn't supposed to sell it. But it was the same time it was financially best for him to do that. Well, he had the person come in, the realtor come in to sell the house, and he brought in a couple of people to look at it. They went down into the basement, and he said he doesn't know to this day because the realtor would never even call him back. He said that when they went down into the basement, the man and the woman screamed at the top of their lungs, ran up the stairs, out the door, and the realtor was right behind him. And he doesn't know to this day what caused that to happen because, like I said, the realtor would never call him back. But he believed that there was a spirit in that house. He believed that it was possibly a relative of his and that they liked them being there. And that if anybody else was to move into that house, then they would be having some problems.
I believe that when you move into a house, an older home, if you get that certain vibe and you do a little research, and obviously with a great gift of Google and libraries, more times than not, your gut feeling, Hayden, is right.
On one of my tours, a young woman told me a story about the night her and her friends stayed at this bed and breakfast on the north side. It was a famous Pittsburgh industrialist from Millionaire's Row over there that they turned into a bed and breakfast. And her friends were all downstairs partying, and she had had a long day. So she went up to her bedroom to go to sleep, and she felt something on and looked over, and there was an old man standing there looking at her. And she just went back to sleep, and he was gone. And the next morning, she asked her friends, "Did you see some old man roaming around this place last night?" And they said, No, we were just partying. We didn't see anybody." Then she looked up on the wall, and there was a portrait of that industrialist. And it was the man she saw in her bedroom that night.
Gotta be something to it. Hey, don't forget, October 6th, 7th, the Oaks Theater. More of this great stuff. Those tickets are going to go fast. Get your hands on them as soon as you can. HauntedPittsburghTours.com. We're going to come back. Lots more to go with Wesley and Hayden before we say goodbye for a Saturday and get ready for the news at 1 with Rob and then Beth Andrews, Net Worth Financial Advisors, all still to come today right here on KDKA. All right, Wesley Creature is here, and also Hayden Thomas, and we've got lots more to get to in the final segment. Don't forget, Haunted Pittsburgh, October 6th and 7th at the Oaks Theater. Hayden, tell them what they can expect. They got to get a ticket for this. Go ahead.
The Oaks Theater is one of the grand old theaters of Pittsburgh. It dates back to the 1930s. It's been restored in just a lovely fashion. There's a little bar in the back and private seating back there, and a theater that holds about 300 people right in the middle of beautiful downtown Oakmont. We tell something different this time. It's more like a play. Before, it was mostly us just telling stories and doing little skits. But now he's done a wonderful job of turning this like into a little scenario with a surprise ending. I think you'll really enjoy it. You know, if you've seen us before, it's something different.
And the great thing about, you know, as you were saying, you're out and about now outside of the city limits of Pittsburgh. So there's everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a memory. And what amazes me about this stuff, this is something young and old alike are going to appreciate it. Whether you're a baby boomer or Generation X, Y, Z, a millennial, whatever, kids, grandparents, moms, dad, aunts, uncles, this is something for everyone, right, Wes?
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun when you come out to our shows. We always believe that laughter and being scared are kind of opposite sides of the same coin. Right. They go hand in hand. So there's a lot of funny stuff in our show as well. So it never gets too scary. So you can bring out your kids, your older folks that want to hear a good story about the past. Any aspect, there's going to be something in this show that you're going to love, and it's going to be a lot of fun for you.
Rob, you can just imagine this guy when he's given a voice to do. Like, we have a story about a Pittsburgher who quite possibly was Jack the Ripper, and he comes out as a Bobby from London. He's just wonderful with his voices. And the fellow who writes our stuff, he's a comedian, he's a history nut, and he's just researched so long in these ghost stories that he ties it all together, and it really is quite calming.
Tell everybody who we're talking about.
Her husband.
Go ahead, come over here. What's your husband's name? What's your husband's name, Carol? Go ahead, jump in here.
Tim Murray.
See, they got to give Tim Murray some credit because he's a man behind the brand.
I don't know how Tim likes to stay in the background, I think. He's probably going to be mad at me.
He'll get over it. We put him out there because he's doing all the work.
Yes, he will.
So talk about this Jack the Ripper thing. We did the last time you were here, and I'm glad we brought it up because I wouldn't have wanted the hour to go by without talking about it. Go ahead, Wesley.
Sure. There's a guy named Dr. Francis Tumblety. And he traveled the world in the 1860s and 70s. But during that time, he had an office right here in Pittsburgh. And he was involved with a number of nefarious things. One thing that particularly ties him into being Jack the Ripper is that he would enjoy bringing people into his office. And he had a row of jars set up on a shelf. Inside of the jars, he had body parts. Human, female body parts. And he would enjoy bringing people into his office to examine that and see that and look at the horror on their faces, because he knew there was something aberrant about what he was doing. Well, on top of all of this, he was actually involved in 1865 in the Lincoln assassination. He was actually arrested and held for 3 weeks in prison and then was eventually released for lack of evidence. But he was a known cohort of John Wilkes Booth, the Lincoln assassinator. Well, he goes over to London and he's there in 1888 when the Jack the Ripper killings happen. And he's actually arrested by Scotland Yard on an unrelated charge of gross indecency, but he was considered to be a very likely suspect in the Jack the Ripper killings. While he's in prison, the murders stop. Then he's released, and there's one more murder, the most grisly of them all. So Tumblety doesn't wait to be tried. He comes back to the United States, and then he says, you know, oh, they picked on me because I was an American. That's the only reason there was any serious thing. And they're all dyspeptics. They ate too much pot pie, stale beer, and underdone potatoes, you know. So a few years later, he dies in 1903 in the city of St. Louis, and at the time, he's a rather wealthy man. Well, people wonder, where does such an evil come from? Well, how would you think to do these things? Well, there's a story that when Tumblety was here in Pittsburgh, he was riding on a horse, and this is before the Jack the Ripper killings and everything. He was riding on a horse. The horse becomes agitated, throws him off. He hits the ground, dies. The doctor comes and examines him, says, this guy's definitely dead. They put him out in state for 3 days. They go to take and bury him, but they determine that he's too tall for the casket they brought along. So the doctor, as is common in such cases back then, brings out a saw, and he starts to work at one of Tumblety's legs. And that's when Tumblety comes back to life. So, you know, where was Tumblety for those 3 days and he's dead? I'll leave that to you.
That's the dark side. That's the dark side. Okay, let's close, Hayden, by telling him about the big show. 2 days. Don't miss it. Get those tickets. HauntedPittsburghTours.com.
Yes, we're doing 2 days at the Oaks Theater in beautiful downtown Oakmont, October 6th and October 7th. You can get tickets at the oakstheater.com. As I've said before, Pittsburgh has a north side and a south side. Come take a trip to the dark side with us.
All right, Wes, just tell everybody once overview again about what you do and how people can participate throughout the year.
Awesome. Yeah, we have all kinds of cool things going on this year. We're after the Haunted Pittsburgh time is over, we're actually going to have a history tour as well. So if you want some more history without the ghosts and everything, we've got that coming up. So you'll have to watch our website for that. And that website is hauntedpittsburghtours.com, www.hauntedpittsburghtours.com. And then for the rest of this Halloween season here, we've got a time coming up where we're going to be doing 4 days a week. We've got right now 2 days a week, Saturday and Sunday. You can come down and see us at 7 o'clock. We start at the City County Building. We walk around town. We tell you some awesome ghost stories. But then we're going to expand it on the coming up on October 12th. We're going to be going 4 days a week. And you can come down and hear those stories and bring out your girlfriend, bring out your boyfriend. Have a good time with us.
We also have a book appropriately called Haunted Pittsburgh. And as Halloween comes around, you'll find that book on the displays in grocery stores and card shops and stuff with all the books about Pittsburgh.
It's also available on Amazon.
Listen, to both of you, thank you. Crown jewel, what you do. Keep up the great work. October 6th and 7th at the beautiful Oaks Theater in that great community of Oakmont. Remember, HauntedPittsburghTours.com. Wesley Hayden, have a great Halloween season.
Thank you very much.
You too.
You too, Carol. All right, we'll take a break. Stay with us. News coming up next at 1.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.